The headlines matter. The conversations matter even more. Eric Latif, Mariam Bishar, and Felaris Ombui are fixing the nation, breaking down issues shaping Kenya, one conversation at a time on Nation FM. Your voice, your vibe.
Fellow Kenyans. There are some people who went to court on the 15th of October last year. These are Dr. Owiso Owiso, Khalef Khalifa, and Ashoya Biko. And they went to the Constitutional Court in Malindi, and they said, we want the Attorney General and the IEBC to respond to this, what we are saying. Why can't the elections be held next year? They argued. Their lawyer was Willis Otieno, who is a constitutional lawyer. He's argued cases even in the Supreme Court. He's the deputy party leader of Safina. And in the end, last week on Friday, Justice Mugure Thande came up with this following orders. One, a declaration is hereby made that pursuant to Article 136(2) of the Constitution, the election of the president must be held on the second Tuesday of August in the fifth year following the previous general election and not after the fifth year. Two, a declaration is hereby made that the fifth year after the previous presidential election held on 9th August 2022 commences on 9th August 2026. Three, a declaration is hereby made that holding the next presidential election on any date other than the second Tuesday in August 2026 will violate and contravene Articles 2, 3, 10, 136, 1 and 2, A, 142, 249, 259 of the Constitution and will consequently be null and void. The declaration of invalidity of the election is suspended until after the next general election is held to allow the second respondent, and that's the IEBC, to correct and defect. A declaration is made that by operation of Article 136, 2A of the Constitution, the term of the president is not 5 years. A declaration is made that neither Article 142 nor any other provision of the Constitution confers upon the president a five-year term in office. The others are about prayers and so on and so forth. And the judge said, we are not specifically granting those others. No order as to costs. Okay? Now, this is a conversation that was a debate last year when Willis Otieno took it to court with Khalef Khalifa. He came here. And it's still a debate even today, even after the judgment of the court. And that's why Willis Otieno is here. Good morning, Wakili.
Good morning, Eric. How are you
doing? I am fine.
Yes. As it should.
Under the circumstances, because of this part, the declaration of invalidity is suspended, I'm now fine. Otherwise, I'd have been a very worried man. But karibu sana.
Thank you.
Felaris is obviously going to give you the day's quote.
Karibu sana, Willis. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Today's quote is courtesy of Henry David Thoreau. He was an American thinker, philosopher, and social critic. The quote reads, "It is not enough to be busy. So are the ants. The question is, what are we busy about?" How does that speak to you?
There must be substance in whatever you're doing. Otherwise, you're just a rocking chair going nowhere.
Just a rocking chair.
Hey, we're getting a food drop.
But going nowhere, you're just there.
There's actually a very nice saying about rocking chairs. It's a worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but takes you nowhere.
I am borrowing that.
You're going nowhere. There must be substance to what you're doing. I'll come back to you on that, Willis. Please remind me, Mariam, to read for him a comment by Nyasimi Geoffrey on the rocking chair bit.
Fantastic.
But Willis, let's begin. Is the election today or not?
On my way to the studio, I passed by Olympic Secondary School in Kibra, which is my polling station. But unfortunately, I didn't find any elections materials or IBC preparations. Because as per our constitution, Article 1 vests sovereignty on the people of Kenya. And they can exercise that sovereignty either directly or through democratically elected representatives. I'm guided by the rule of law, faithfulness, fidelity, and commitment to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. As per our Constitution, today is the date of the elections. So I'm also guided by what the learned judge said, that she suspended. She gave IBC time to organize elections. Mm. My only point of departure is where the suspension makes reference to until the next elections.
Yeah.
It is a recognized principle in law that when an event is meant to occur on a particular date,
yes,
but due to unavoidable circumstances, it cannot occur on that date, then it must be done within the shortest possible time when it is feasible to conduct it. So what IBC should be telling us today is that we were not able to organize your polling on the today's date, that is the 11th of August, 2026, and that we need around 60 days or 120 days to be able to roll out the elections operations plan, and you can conduct your elections. Because anything else, we must say this, the donated mandate expired last night, midnight. It expired. That one is where the sovereign's mandate that was donated to the elected representatives expired. It ended. Last night, it ended. Mm-hmm. At the stroke of midnight, it ended. William Ruto is now a temporary incumbent. Members of Parliament are temporary. Those are just transitional office holders. They are not legal in office. The donated mandate expired last night. And a temporary president, in Article 134 of our Constitution, is told what he can do and what he cannot do. He cannot appoint anybody to office. He cannot dismiss. He cannot exercise power of mercy. So we're in a transitional phase. And I also invite you to look at Article 2 of the Constitution for you to understand the severity of this. Actually, Article 3, sub-Article 2. Any attempt to establish a government otherwise than in compliance with this constitution is unlawful. The manner of establishing a government is through elections. The mandate in elections expired last night. So what do we call this? If any, William Ruto tries to exercise full executive authority, that is trying to establish a government otherwise in a manner provided the constitution. And even the judgment of the court, to the extent that having made a determination on unconstitutionality of any elections that is conducted on any date other than the 11th of August 2026, what it means is this. The judge cannot and does not have any power in law to suspend such a finding. Once you find that the constitution has been breached, the constitution is supreme. The constitution in Article 22 sets out the remedies that a court can give to Article 23. The remedies that a court can give upon hearing a petition. And suspending a decision is not one of them. So where we are, the Kenyan people, we're in a transitional mechanism, and we must accept it for what it is.
All right. Justice Mugure Thande sits on the High Court.
Yes.
Have all appeals been exhausted? No. So is it fair to say that we're in a transitional phase if we have not exhausted the full legal 9 yards?
No, no. What happens is, Justice Mugure Thande, let me say the High Court of Kenya, is a duly established court under the Constitution of Kenya.
Yes.
And the decision made by the court at the point of its making, it is binding on everybody, including the courts. The fact that you still have an avenue of appeal does not cure any defect. But more importantly, even if you are to file an appeal today, it is post facto. There is nothing to stay. If there was anything to be stayed, it could have been stayed before midnight. It is now late. Even if the Court of Appeal were to come with a different decision, the event has taken place. The temporary incumbency has kicked in. So there's nothing left
hey.
To say. In fact, what we should be discussing as a country, if you ask me, mm-hmm. we should be discussing a structural interdict of when is the shortest time possible for us to conduct elections. I witnessed NTV, Nation Media Group, last night mm-hmm. you are hosting Decision 2027. Mm-hmm. You know, even you, I must call you out. It is Decision 2026. That is exactly... fidelity to the Constitution must apply to all, not just legacy politicians, even to the media. It is Decision 2026. Mm-hmm. And then now we take cognizance of the fact that today mm-hmm. we are now operating, just as the judge rightfully put it, in mm-hmm. terms of maintaining stability. Yeah. Safina Party want to inherit a stable government, mm-hmm. country. Mm-hmm. We are now discussing how to quickly go into an election phase within the shortest time possible. Mm-hmm. Don't buy this legacy politician's old narrative that elections 2027. There's nothing like that. They don't have 5 years in office. Doesn't exist.
So, Willis, you know I am with you on the math,
yes.
on the letter. Mm-hmm. I want to ask if we're also upholding the spirit of the law, not just the letter.
You know, Mariam, I'm a very good student of the law.
Yeah, mm. I trust
where,
that.
Where the letter of the law is clear, in plain, mm-hmm. the literal interpretation mm-hmm. applies.
Mm-hmm.
It is only when mm-hmm. you have a gap mm-hmm. that you revert to the spirit. You don't start from the spirit. And even if that spirit, you have to look for it.
Yeah.
I will tell you, what was the spirit of the Constitution?
Mm-hmm.
What informed the provisions of Second Tuesday in August?
Mm-hmm.
When Kenyans were making their constitution, they had said elections that are held in December interfere with our holidays,
mm-hmm.
our festivities, mm-hmm. our travel plans.
Yeah.
We don't want elections in December.
Mm-hmm.
So Kenyans put on the table the available months, April, August, November.
No, November, mm-hmm. okay.
Mm-hmm. November was struck out because it is school
are still
times
in,
and
yeah.
polling stations are in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Exam time, interfere with exams. So November was struck out.
Mm-hmm.
April was struck out because that's a long season, rainy season.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know the nature of roads that legacy politicians have messed up in this country.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have proper road access. It will be a logistical challenge to IBC.
Mm-hmm.
So April was struck out. The compromise was August. And the question was, is it August after the 5 years or August into the fifth year? And what the committee of experts did
mm-hmm.
and the Kenyan people adopted was August inside the fifth year,
mm.
not outside it.
Mm-hmm.
They had that option of saying,
yes.
after every the first August after every fifth year.
After
they said uh-huh. The second Tuesday of August inside the fifth year.
Mm.
So we are now squarely,
yeah.
you're elected to serve for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Inside your fifth year,
we have an election.
You have an election.
Mm.
The old constitution, section 9, had specifically provided
mm.
we are electing you to serve for a five-year term, which
mm-hmm.
you are aware of
mm-hmm.
when we were enacting these provisions.
Mm-hmm.
We discarded that and went into a four-year.
Did we discard it, Willis?
We did.
No, when we're having this conversation, April, mm-hmm. August, mm-hmm. November, mm-hmm. and all, was there any discussion that said we shall reduce the term?
The discussion was very simple.
Mm.
That we are moving into what is called election cycles. That the election
yes.
itself
yes.
is what determines the question of the term.
Okay.
That is why you see the president, the governor, the member of parliament is not given a specific term.
Mm.
What is given is the election cycle. So by operation of elections,
mm.
you determine when your term is coming to an end. So it was plain.
No. That is Kizungu from...
No.
That is Kizungu.
Mm.
We are coming, you see, we are coming from known
mm-hmm.
to an unknown principle.
Yes. Yes.
Our known principle was that we had 5 year terms.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was a very big debate
mm.
in repealing Section 2A and in the negotiations for the election of 1992.
Yes.
Terms and term limits,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
We shall continue with 5 years,
yes.
but a president shall have only two terms
yes.
and thereafter go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Moi said, so see, my terms now begin now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, we all see.
Fair game.
See, to answer us, I hope
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, as we were doing our constitution, even up to 2010, we were coming from a known.
Mm-hmm.
Known is 5 year term.
Yes.
Right? For all our elective offices.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we are discussing a cycle, we can't be discussing a cycle absent of what we know and what we've always practiced. So, it's either we are discussing and saying we are doing away with a five-year term,
yeah,
and therefore ushering in a new cycle that has 4 years, mm-hmm, or we didn't have that conversation at all.
Eric.
And the assumption was that by even putting in the fifth year, mm, was people are like, okay, well, the word five is there.
The word so five is there, yeah.
No. Eric, what you're missing is this. They always say in law that what is not provided for is discarded. Because nothing will be more difficult than to write it down. Mm. And more so when you're drafting. I used to masquerade as a drafter before in my earlier years in practice. When you're drafting, for example, a legal instrument, your primary working materials is the old one that you're trying to review.
Mm.
So you pick what you want.
Mm.
And what you don't want, you leave.
Sure.
So the Kenyan people, by leaving out Section 9's provisions, mm,
that's what I'm asking.
So the point is, they discarded it. They had an opportunity to include it. Mm. They did not.
They
opted for the American style.
I am asking.
I'm trying to understand. No, understand this, Eric.
I'm asking.
Eric, it's important
to
understand.
Was there a discussion?
No.
To discard.
Listen, to the extent that it was not carried, if you go to the answer,
mm,
it was there. What you must understand is that, remember, we are moving from the purely Westminster model to a mixed American blended with the Westminster model.
Mm-hmm.
What was informing that drafting? Even if you look at the wording of Article 152, 142 and 136, we are borrowing heavily from the American Constitution. It's just that they are in November, as we are using August.
Mm-hmm.
And theirs also is determined based on election cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who does election process will tell you that when you are doing a pure electoral system cycle of elections, you let the election so that you have a constant rollover of terms,
mm,
determined by the election cycle. So what becomes your primary concern is the election cycle. How do I defend the election cycle?
Mm.
There's always sometimes, if you are doing term limits, there's this conversation, I don't know if you can remember it, that you may give somebody a five-year term and their five-year ends before elections are held.
Mm-hmm.
What happens? There's a lacuna.
Mm-hmm.
That is why progressive drafting moves to election cycles, so that even your term is premised on the election
cycle,
based on the next, mm-hmm, election. So that you don't have any instance where you can have somebody's in office, elections were meant to be held,
mm-hmm,
and elections cannot be held for whatever reason,
mm-hmm,
then now they're illegal in office.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot continue. Just like now what we are facing. The temporary incumbent will continue in office,
mm-hmm,
as a temporary incumbent, mm-hmm, restricted,
mm-hmm,
until the next...
For up to a year.
No, mm-hmm, until the next elections are held.
Yeah,
until
so
the next person is sworn in.
Mm-hmm. And the next person will come in and say they are owed 5 years.
No. But from the date of election.
When Jimmy Wanjigi and Willy Osotiano come in, and they're sworn in, yeah, at whether it's Raila Odinga or Kasarani,
mm-hmm,
well, they will come in next year in September,
yeah,
to serve for 4 years.
For four, mm-hmm, years. We'll come back and interrogate that.
We'll come and argue. In fact, we will go to court and argue that their term began in 2026.
2026.
So they'll serve for 3 years.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
Let me just say one.
We will give you your own medicine.
Only one word I say.
Yes.
In this discussion, let Kenyans control alt delete,
mm,
any reference,
mm,
to a 5 year term.
Mm-hmm.
That was in the old.
We are now
in a 4 year.
We are now in a 4 year term,
yes,
which begins now. Jimmy Wanjigi is not in State House, not by our own making. If we put Jimmy Wanjigi in State House and Willy Zotieno in Karen next year in September, 2027, 2028, 2029, home.
And even as we look at what the courts have ruled, the question then becomes, who are the duty bearers in terms of making sure that this was not missed? How did this fly by the Attorney General? How did this fly by the IEBC as an institution? We are pointing fingers at them, right?
It's true. And it tells you the caliber of leaders that you put in office. And if there's something that I must say, my political party, Safina, we are the only party that has been very deliberate in terms of pointing out key fissures in this country. We've run with the question of the economy, public debt, odious debt, which is choking this country.
Mm-hmm.
We are now pointing the country into the issue of elections, mm-hmm, fidelity to the Constitution,
mm-hmm,
even reawakening people's minds on what it really means when you say you elect somebody into office. Mm-hmm. When should you be doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it entail? We are in the next phase where we are telling you, Even when somebody's in office, post his mandate, he is not a full incumbent. But the challenge you face is that many Kenyans don't want to, they want to live in the old. The old order is gone. The old order of legacy politics, lying to you, showing you sloganeering, shouting on the rooftop of cars, talk down on you and go away. There are many people who still want to live in that space. We are in a phase where we need to be having constructive discussions that builds the nation, pegged on predictable elections, predictable periodic elections, discussing the issue that is affecting the country mostly, which is public debt. I never ran away from that conversation. I had to find a way to sneak it in. Public debt as the number one choke on everybody's neck. Yes. You're paying almost 90% of your tax revenue on public debt, thereby depriving other social services of funds. Take this money you're paying to public debt. This year alone, you're paying $2.6 trillion. Put it in education. Primary, secondary, TVET, costed per capita around $300 billion. You're paying $2.6 trillion. Take $300 and put here. Public health, costed in Kenya, is around $180 billion. You're left with $2.3 trillion from the illegal debt you're paying. Trillion. Take $200 billion, put in health. Every Kenyan access healthcare services for free. Do away with VAT. Kenyans are crying over high cost of living. Do away with VAT, have a 5% sales tax. The price of all valuable goods and services falls down by 11%. All these interventions, related to the people's pockets, approximately $800 billion back in the people's pockets. With more disposable income, Kenyans will buy more, they'll consume more. Then government will stop borrowing the domestic market. Today, your government has borrowed from what you've saved, your local savings, around, say, $8 trillion. Your government has borrowed almost $7 trillion. The private sector has only borrowed $1 trillion. You go to borrow, interest rate is 20%. Why? Because government is borrowing at 10%, 14%. Stop borrowing the domestic market. Let that money be accessed to the Kenyan people. That is what Safina is about. How can we change lives? This is a kind of a conversation you cannot have on top of a motor vehicle. I must sit here in the studio. We have a sober conversation. I go to a town hall. And people ask me questions so that they fully understand what this is about. Otherwise, you continue your legacy politics.
I mean, it's what you and your party leader, Jimmy Wanjigi, are doing is playing a very critical role in terms of having issue-led politics and discourse, public discourse. But then the challenge becomes, how do we trickle it down to, you know, proper, you know, national discourse? And what Kenyans respond to, and something that Eric has pointed out on this show so many times, is how us as a voter and an electorate, we have our own problems in terms of what we allow the political class to keep doing. But even before we get into the odious debt and what Safina Party is doing, because, yes, you plan on being on the ballot, before we close this conversation on the ruling by Justice Tande, is who gets to bear the cost of that deficit here? Who
do we throw the stones at?
Yes, because
we start with IBC.
Okay.
The biggest stone goes to IBC because look at past experience. In 2013, Uhuru Kenyatta was elected president. IBC rightfully identified the fifth year to be falling from the 3rd of March 2017 and ending on the 2nd of March 2018. They looked for the second Tuesday in August inside that fifth year, and we conducted our 2017 elections on the 8th of August 2017. Very well within the constitution. Then I don't know where the devil came, or it was COVID or BBI, that now in 2022, the same IEBC that had faithfully applied the constitution in 2017 decides to release an election operations plan that now mentioned 2022 as the next elections. Even if you go by the simplest human logic, the basic math, 2017 minus 2013 is 4 years.
Yes.
It's true. How they moved it, now that we are not talking of the 4 years, that now it is 5-year term, and how it was sold to Kenyans without seeing that what happened here, to fully understand what is in the constitution that led us 2017, that now what you're trying to do in 2022 is different, I don't know.
I'll tell you what happened. Come on.
What happened?
We always knew our elections are in 2 and 7. 92, 97. 2 or 2, 2 or 7.
2012.
Okay. We had just promulgated our constitution in 2010. The IEBC then and others had just been created. Mm-hmm. So a case was taken actually to court. Like, really, can we hold an election in August 2012? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That means that we should have started preparing in August 2011. Mm-hmm. We have just promulgated our constitution in August 2010. Mm-hmm. We have moved from IIEC to IEBC mm-hmm. around that time. I mean, it's so much. Have we done the boundary delimitation and all those things? Mm-hmm. We are still at the beginning phase of implementing our constitution. Mm-hmm. So the matter was taken to court.
Yes.
And was it Justice Isaac Lenaola mm-hmm. that said, all right, look, clearly, this election cannot be held in August 2012, mm-hmm. okay? But we should then extend it and give IEBC some time. And I don't know whether, Willis, you can correct me here, whether the judge actually dictated on the date mm-hmm. or allowed IEBC some leeway that ended up being with them picking March 2013. Mm-hmm. That's why we held an election. And it was clear that, in fact, I think Justice Lenaola was very clear that this will mean okay. that the term of that the new elected leaders will be shorter.
Okay.
It will be clear that it will be shorter because thereafter we shall come back into counting it from August 2012.
Okay.
So the next election shall be
2017.
That was the thinking then. Mm-hmm. And because all of us, even as we were voting yes and no in the referendum, mm-hmm. we knew we are not changing the term. Uh-huh. Of our elected leaders, mm-hmm. we were okay with it. So Uhuru and Ruto and MPs and senators and governors served a shorter term between 2013 and 2017. And MCA went to court and said, in the constitution, mm-hmm. the term of the MCA is actually written as the only one that's defined, five-year term.
Yeah.
And they went to argue, 2013, count five.
Yeah.
I mean, the judges told them, yeah. But...
good story, bro.
Yeah.
Eric, let me put it this way.
Am I right?
You are right.
Is that the background of how come we ended up with IEBC holding elections in 2017?
No. What happened was this. Mm. In the sixth schedule of the Constitution, Part 3, Section 9,
yeah.
And 12, those are the transitional provisions of this new constitution. It had provided that the then existing parliament and the national executive shall serve for its entire term. Mm-hmm. And that term
was ending in December. Yeah.
And elections, it was actually on 12th of January.
Mm-hmm.
And the elections were supposed to be held within 60 days after that.
Okay.
So that reading was very well in order, in my view. Then, mm-hmm. let's come to when we start the count. Because the moment we held that first elections, the count automatically came in. And for us to fully understand, and why I keep insisting, Kenyans do away with the five-year term. There is nobody... since the 2010 constitution, not a single elected leader has served for 5 years in office. Not a single. Uhuru Kenyatta served for 4 years, 5 months in his first term. The MPs and senators and governors who are elected in that term of Uhuru Kenyatta first term, they served for 4 years, 3 months. In his second term, even after being... doing his repeat election. Mm. Uhuru served for 4 years, 7 months in office.
Okay.
The elected MCAs and MPs served for 4 years and 10 months, I don't know, 11 months. 10 months, actually. Mm-hmm. So nobody has ever served for 5 years. Mm. Kenyans, stop this fascination. There's nothing like a five-year term in your constitution.
So now, okay. So
nobody has ever served to date mm-hmm.
for 5 years.
For five. Yeah.
So if we were to hold the elections on the 10th of August next year, how long will Ruto have served?
Even him, he will not serve for 5 years.
It will not be 12 times 5.
It will not be 5 years. Mm. He will serve in office because he was sworn in around September.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he will have served for around 4 years, 11 months.
Mm.
So what is this 5 years? You are saying somebody was elected for 5 years. It doesn't exist.
Mm. Okay.
So the term is not 5 years.
Yeah.
Is the election a five-year cycle?
Election is a four-year cycle. Then in the fifth year, what happens is this. Inside the fifth year, you conduct the election.
In the second Tuesday.
On the second Tuesday of August.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's this not misinterpretation, but... that I call it a very deliberate reading of the Constitution and what it spells to suit a certain, to suit the political class. I'm going to take it back to something we were discussing on what Professor Kindiki said, that one term is unconstitutional. The deliberate misinformation to the electorate that this is what the Constitution says. Yes, it provides for two terms, but then hearing that come from those quarters, I see how this also becomes another convenient thing. Yeah, I see how we got here.
True.
Yeah.
I have a few questions. So now, we are where we are at. Justice Mugure has given her judgment. You said that ideally, well, if you're following the law, if a date has been missed, the next feasible date should be what is next, not August 2027. Now, what is the most feasible, shortest time for us to conduct an election? And I say that given that yesterday the IEBC published election timelines for campaigns, for voter registration, enhanced voter registration, for
nomination,
campaigns, everything. Mm. They give us timelines for everything. Mm. So what is the shortest feasible time?
The shortest feasible time to arrive at it, I'm guided by what the Constitution provides, and what has been the IBC experience. The recent one being Olkalao, where the Constitution has provided that where a vacancy occurs in the office of a member of parliament, the elections must be held within 60 days from the declaration of that vacancy. So it should be 60 days. And I'm looking at your constitution. They already told they should, in terms of the election preparedness, they should be aware that we normally do 60 days. So the conversation they should be having is this, asking the country that, okay, we are supposed to be in 60 days, but is it now possible to extend us some grace? Instead of 60, we do it in 120 days or in 90 days. And then now we start setting up mechanisms to ensure that we have the elections within the 90 days.
Okay.
Otherwise, what we are going through, and this will come back to haunt this country someday, if you don't pay attention, this is now an illegal coup. If the existing office holders exercise full mandates of those offices, because they do not have the mandate, the popular mandate ended at the stroke of midnight. Last night.
Well, it's just a bit dramatic.
It's
dramatic. Well, if interpretations, and as we are debating them, one, we're still a young country when you think about it, with a young constitution.
We're still
60 is a youth when it comes to nations. 60 is Gen Z when it comes to nations. But also a fairly young constitution, actually a very young constitution, that we are still stretching, still learning, still expanding, still nitpicking. So I don't know, I feel like it's a bit dramatic to say it's an illegal coup if we have not rightfully determined, gone through all appeal processes, gone, like, stretched this interpretation all the way to the Supreme Court. Then, after that, we can say things like,
Mariam,
otherwise it's just drama.
Mariam, I hear you. But let's look at Article 3.2. Any attempt to establish a government otherwise than in compliance with this Constitution is unlawful. The Constitution has told you that mandates run from the 9th of August 2022 and mandate ended on the 8th of August 2026. The same constitution told you that to conduct any elections on any date other than the 11th of August 2026 will be unconstitutional, null and void. So with those clarity, why then do you say it's dramatic? It is constitution. And when you say nations are young, unfortunately,
no, 60 is young for a nation.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, life is for the living. And we are living this constitution today. We are not going to make mistakes to say that those who will come after us in 200 years to come will have learned from our mistakes. No. Kenyans need to enjoy the provisions of this constitution today. Not in future. Not in 2008.
True. I am liking the flow of your argument, Willis. And it's based on something. You know, it's coming from somewhere. And I think, Kevo, you can just put that judgment again back there, because this is the judgment of the High Court. The High Court has said the interpretation of the Constitution, and the High Court has been given mandate by the Constitution to interpret the law, right? And to tell us how to apply it. So here is the High Court, actually, a judge interpreting and saying, according to the constitution, the election, the next election should, the last election was held on 9th August 2022. The next election in the fifth year should be
in 2026.
In the second Tuesday of August 2026. Anything else beyond that violates the constitution.
Yeah.
All right? So, so far, I mean, this is what the court is saying. Now, we may go and go to a higher court and maybe challenge and say, you know, the reasoning of the, you know, the judge may have been, you know, flawed or may have been influenced by Willis in one way or the other.
It's the constitution.
Yeah, in another manner, you know. And maybe and a bigger panel of judges may find different or may find the same.
Yeah.
The point is that here we are actually stress testing the word, the letter and spirit of our constitution. The letter of our constitution is telling us that elections happen in four-year cycles. Right? The spirits of the people who were there when they were discussing the constitution, who were living in the previous constitution, and who ushered themselves into a new dawn of a new constitution, I tell you, Willis, and you know this, is very different. It's on the 5 years. So it's actually inviting this conversation to have. Are we then saying that we go and amend the constitution and change this wording so that it suits us to the thing that we want, the five-year term? Or do we accept
who is we, that the thing that the we
people.
Want?
Yeah. We, the people.
The people.
The people.
Right? Do we go to amend the constitution and change this so that then it gives us that comfort? It shall be 2-7. 22-27. 32-37. I mean, we can think. I can't even tell you the elections will be held in 2062. 2062 and 2067. We can start projecting that far out. But now, are we changing that? Or do we accept and say, let us actually now see, this is what the constitution says. So it shall be happening on even and even days.
Odd numbers.
Even and even.
26.
26, yes. 26, 30. 30. 30. 34. Like that. Do we accept? What are you prepared to do, Mariam? Are you prepared to accept four? Or are you prepared to amend to come back to five?
I'm as of now, I am prepared to be guided by the courts.
So you accept
beyond that, if it comes now to do we amend or not, man, I would have to do some more serious thinking, to be quite honest, because I'm very touchy about constitutional amendments. Is this the thing that we want to tussle up, to go to a referendum about with this constitution? Term limits for elected leaders. I don't know. I feel like there's matters of actual importance. I don't know how to explain it. It feels like
we have bigger fish to fry.
And I don't mean that in a sense that this is not an important issue, but just like if this is the first thing we go to a referendum for, it would be a shame. Like, it would be so political.
But you do realize what this thing is doing. This thing is disrupting it's telling you that the sun will rise at 8 a.m. You know, so in this country, we know the sun rises in the hours of 5:30 to 6:30. The sun is up. Now imagine suddenly you're told by Willis that no, the sun will start rising at 3 a.m.
I mean, off the bat, we already live in election cycles, to be quite honest. Shortening them even further, like, when do we even recover economically, emotionally?
Thalaris, what are you prepared for?
My thoughts are just expanding it, seeing what the political class have come in and teased as, you know, maybe an extension of term limits. And either way, the term limit is something that has been a matter of political discourse. So this opens up that conversation. Is, are we sticking to what the Constitution says as 4 years, the limit, or are we then also opening Pandora's box, welcoming those people that bring in the thought that the term limit for the president should not even be 5 years, should be 7 years? We need to be prepared for any kind
you've
of...
You've made my decision. What? Thank you.
You've made
what
your
you
mind.
Four.
We are sticking. Let's stick to the constitution.
If we're going to open it up to, you know, the players and the people that have here sprinkled all of these ideas, then when it comes to consensus on the table, do you think we'll all agree on 4 years?
Before we take the break, and I want you to just answer this one straight up, Willis. As Safina, as somebody who wants to be the next deputy president of this republic, are you prepared for a 4-year term?
We are prepared to lead by the Constitution, and the Constitution provides for a 4-year term in office. Mm. That is what we are ready for. In fact, I don't share at all in any view that we should even amend a comma in this Constitution. Mm-hmm. We just need to control, alt, delete, and amend our minds out of the old, in with the new, fully adapt the new Constitution. Okay. So, Safina, we are very well prepared to live with the 4 years.
As we take this break, then we're asking you, viewers and listeners, what are you prepared to do? Mm. Do you want to accept that now, even after the next election should be held in 2030? Because that is what the interpretation of the Constitution, according to the High Court, mm-hmm. is the next election shall be in 2030. If not 30, then 31.
It's 2031. If you
if not 30, the second August, then 31. If these, guys, if the IEBC holds it next year, August 10th, then the next election, 2031, not 32.
Yes.
Or should we open up this conversation for a constitutional amendment so we can amend this constitution and be clear that we want a 5-year term for elected officers, all of them, including MCAs, whose term right now is guaranteed in the constitution as a 5-year term, but is still always being violated. What point did we as Kenyans not, when Yash Palgai went across the country, not when we met in Bomas, not when we went to Naivasha, not when we were campaigning yes, no, even the banana orange, yes, no, green, red, in 2010. At no point did we talk about a president will be in office for 4 years. At no point. We knew Obama by the time we were voting. We knew Obama and we knew, everyone now knew an American president is. At no point did we discuss 4 years. But it, then it ended up in our constitution.
Just now,
should we accept that then our election shall be 4 years? Or should we go back to what we knew?
Eric, the question you're asking, you're asking the question, should we live by this constitution or ignore it? That's a very basic question. Because once you start ignoring one provision, what stops you from ignoring the next and the next and the next? Before you know it, there's no rule of law. Don't read the Constitution based on what you thought was in it. Take the Constitution for what it is. You can't say that I thought I was voting for it. You didn't think. It is here. It was not what you thought. I met some legislator who was telling me that me when I was being elected, I thought I was being elected to serve for 5 years. Now why am I not staying? I told him, I'm sorry. You are coming into a public office guided by the Constitution. You should have taken time to understand the Constitution. So we are not trying to accommodate personal interests here. Given these things I'm advancing, I always say, in discussing this issue of the election cycle and the reading of Article 142, remove William Ruto. Go away with your William Rutoism. Remove your member of parliament. Disabuse yourself of your biases. Read the constitution without an individual in mind. Then apply it for what it is. Let individuals fit into the constitution, not the constitution to fit into individuals.
Yeah.
It's the other way around. So the mistake we keep making, and I've told you, since 2010, not a single elected leader in Kenya has ever served for 5 years. And none will ever serve for 5 years in a term. That is constitutional.
This is it.
So when they campaign and tell you, I am elected for 5 years, yangu kumi, they are subconsciously trying to move you away from the 4-year cycle, which they know is in the constitution. Because even when they're elected and they're sworn in, they will never serve for 5 years under the present arrangement.
What about members of county assembly?
Even them, the ones who could have served for 5 years, are the ones who went to court in the Limo case. And the Court of Appeal told them, because then they asked for a full 5-year term. The Court of Appeal told them the Constitution provides for the date of general elections. You cannot serve for 5 years because the Constitution provides your elections must be done with the other elections. So it has to be brought inwards.
So what supersedes the other? Because the Constitution also guarantees them a 5-year term.
So there's what we call, now, in this case of such a, of the MCS, that is when you can now start looking at the other instruments of interpretation. As opposed to the one that we are using for the term election cycle. So the MC is told we must read Article 177.4 together with Article 136 and Article 101 of the Constitution. that since your general election is provided for here, you end up suffering. Mm. And the court actually, High Court actually initially said, mm-hmm. for the unserved period, the state should pay you. Mm. Because you are elected to serve for 5 years, but just because of the convenience of elections, oui. You should be paid. Mm. But the Court of Appeal overturned it and said, uh-huh. unfortunately, this is not a private enterprise. Mm. This is a public service.
Yeah.
So for the period that you've not served, mm-hmm. there's no way the public can pay you. Mm-hmm. If you are losing a private enterprise, then the public will have carried the burden of paying you.
Yeah.
So the MCO is harmonized and is now accepted. They'll never serve for 5 years. And the others will never serve for 5 years. Let's now discuss the election cycle. It is the second Tuesday of August in the fifth year. Mm-hmm. You are only elected to serve for 4 years. It only so happens that the second Tuesday of August inside the fifth year will come so soon into the turn of the fifth year that people are going to lose a few months that they are stealing from the people of Kenya. So that's all they've been doing. They steal your sovereignty by a few months. Mm. They never even steal an whole year. They just steal a few months from you. So now you're telling them, you're not stealing from us 6 or 8 months. You're going to steal from us. We're going to make sure that we preserve, we take back our months as soon as your term expires.
How do we move past this? And we have had a situation where the country keeps getting itself, first of all, in a somewhat constitutional, I don't want to call it a crisis, but we are heading towards that, right? That if this is not, if we don't course correct now, we end up then with more complicated matters in our hands. Who has the onus on them to correct this? Let's make this, the court has said, you know, just to, for stability, let's stick to the election date for next year and assume that your push to the IEBC to hold elections within 90 days is not honored. We have the elections next year. How do we correct this?
You know, the first thing, I have a big problem. The moment you start creating convenient excuses that let's do it next year, not this year. You're pushing the boundary. They'll keep pushing it.
But we have been realistic here.
So what being realistic here would be that we are now in a transitional arrangement. Those who are holding office are there on a temporary basis. So realistically, what we should be doing, if we care about the nation, about stability, is how do you get the people back to as soon as possible to donate their sovereignty? Because if you don't, somebody will come with an argument next year to say elections were meant to be held
last year.
Uh-huh. Why are you holding them this year? Through which framework? They'll go to court and challenge it. So that's why I say you must hold the elections within the shortest time possible through a structural interdict that is accommodated by the courts, that you are doing it under court supervision, because as it is, we must all accept. Your mandate expired last night. You are temporary. So now the court has given you an accommodation, just acting as the donated arbitrator in disputes, so that they are able to walk us through a process that donates sovereignty to representatives. If we don't, that you start saying, okay, this is convenient today, there'll never be a convenient time to do anything.
To hold a national election that is, you know, across the country, that's a lot of work for the IEBC, and there's certain steps that have to be taken for us to hold an election that realistically, and that's why I want us to be as realistic as possible. Let's be practical. Upholding the rule of law, notwithstanding, is how possible is it for the IEBC to actually then carry out an election within 90 days? They've come out, they've gazetted an election that is going to be next year. They've outlined when the continuous voter registration and, you know, the enhanced voter registration is supposed to be. There's processes in this entire thing.
Indeed. And just to add on to that, Willis, it is not an election. It is actually 1,881 elections that are held on the same day.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
It is millions of voters who want to take to have that opportunity to participate in that election. So they need time to prepare, they need time to be on the register and all, right? And they need to be as smooth and efficient for them as possible. So looking from the point of the sovereign, how practical is it for the sovereign to elect their 6 representatives in their ward within this shortest time possible of this side of the calendar.
You know, Eric, you make it appear like elections are such a very complex thing.
It is.
Are they not?
Let me tell you. It is just what the legacy politicians sell to you. Elections are a very simple thing. Mm-hmm. Elections are done at the polling stations, manned by the returning officers.
Mm-hmm.
Every polling station has a maximum 700 registered voters.
Yes.
So the bulk of what you think is a difficult process is just logistics. Mm-hmm. How to transport materials to the polling station.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the only difficult part of election.
Yes.
But in terms of the vote, it's 700 people per polling station. Even if you had to count 700 people times 6, reduce it to that. Mm. It's just counting 700, assuming that the polling station has the highest number of permissible voters, 700.
Mm.
And all the 700 have turned out to vote.
Mm.
It's just 700 times 6 is what you are counting.
Yes.
So, I think we're oversimplifying.
No. Felaris, let me tell you. I've lived my life on elections. I've done elections even using Bano. I'm going to countries where they do but use but not do elections. It is not as complex Gambia. So it is not as complex as Kenyans imagine it.
Okay.
It is just that we are so caught up in this, I think it's just an hallucination.
Yeah.
That legacy politicians have sold you.
Mm.
But elections is very simple
okay.
process.
How practical?
That is, how practical?
Is
let me
for
answer
us
you.
To that simple election.
Let me hold you.
In 46,000 plus in, polling stations.
In your constitution, in particular, Article 146, it envisages that there can be a vacancy in the office of a president.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And it provides that you shall hold your elections within 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
After the speaker assumes office.
Mm-hmm.
So it can happen that there can be a vacancy through the any of the means set out in the constitution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your same constitution provides there can be a vacancy in the office of a member of parliament.
Mm-hmm.
There can be a vacancy in the office of a member of a county assembly.
Mm-hmm.
And it proceeds to provide that you must hold elections within 60 days.
60 days.
So the fact that you already envisaged it, don't act like as if
it's something
that
new.
These people are elected into office and they are cast in iron, they can never move, they can never be there. The constitution envisaged they can leave office.
Yeah.
So if they can leave office, and IBC must be prepared to conduct elections if they are not in office. So in 60 days. I'm saying, in relation to this, if you can't do it in 60 days, then maybe make a case for 120 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you go through a process that quickly takes us back to elections.
Mm-hmm.
Because already the Constitution gives you 60 days to be doing these things.
Mm.
An extra 160 days, 120 days, you can't do it. Just a matter of buying materials and supplying. Because remember, elections, as I said, are polling station based. They are conducted at the constituency.
Mm-hmm.
It is not like 24 million Kenyans are going all to walk to Nairobi to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You vote at your constituency.
Yeah.
And it's just within that constituency that you're conducting your elections for the 6 seats.
Mm.
Pure and simple.
Yeah.
All right. Let me sample some quick feedback, and then we get into Mata's numbers and Safina Party's plan. Very quickly, Bakari Sagna saying, Judge Thande's ruling in Malindi explicitly suspended the execution of the 2026 election date ruling for 1 year. Doesn't this mean politicians are in office illegally? I think you've spoken to that. It's a transitional. What's the word that you use?
Yes, transitional.
Caretaker, something of that sort.
It's not even caretaker.
No, there's the word that Willis used.
Temporary incumbent.
But Justice Ndene did not extend it for a year.
Mm.
So it says the declaration of invalidity of the election is suspended until after the next general election is held.
Mm-hmm.
To allow the IEBC to correct the defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not specify
the period.
It's a year.
Fair. Steve says, Maria Mawazoyako na yangu are in sync. See your ignorance, but clearly we have bigger fish to fry. Charles Ndungu, I wish there was a clause on half-term where the electorate, not elected representatives, would push out a government that's not working for us. 2 years is enough to get an idea of the direction. Louis 7274 says, unconstitutional. Other things that are unconstitutional. unconstitutional. MPs joining parties that did not sponsor them to parliament without resigning and running for fresh elections, sorry. ACS holding positions not recognized by law. So please, I think he's saying we're living in many unconstitutionalities, which is a problem
in and of itself. What's one more?
Hey! Davori says, even if you are right, the constitution does not leave room for a vacuum. So the incumbent stays legally in power until a new one is elected. The idea of illegality is therefore flawed. Hiya. Charles Ndungu says, therein sets the problem. We are ready to give too much leeway even when the writing on the paper is clear. For the right-thinking people, midnight vacated this government mandate. Elections must be held now. Mm-hmm. Wilberforce says, when it comes to national debt, I am an ardent follower of Jimmy Wanjigi, Willis and Jao Kim and the ODS debt solution method. There's a question also from Julia Amboko referring to your earlier plan to scrap sales tax as Safina if you get office. So he says, I'm curious about the Safina proposal around doing away with VAT and replacing it with a 5% sales tax. Mm. Kenya had a 5% sales tax until 1990. It was repealed because of the inability to address the input-output claim mechanism that led to massive revenue leakage. Why are they proposing a return to sales tax? Maybe begin by also explaining what sales tax is, what's different about it from VAT, and why you want to scrap VAT.
The main thing about VAT is that VAT is a value-added tax, mm-hmm. and it's based on consumption mm-hmm. for whatever items. So for whatever you are consuming is whatever, you pay your contribution, value-add, and it's borne by the ultimate consumer, mm-hmm. not the producer of the items. Mm-hmm. Now, the Kenyan people are crying today over high cost of living. Mm. The number one contributor of that high cost of living, VAT. 16%. You go buy fuel, 16% VAT. Mm. You come here to buy airtime, 16% VAT. Mm-hmm. Yet, my pocket is deprived. I don't have enough money.
Yeah.
And yet, VAT only contributes 325 billion. Mm. That was the VAT collection in the last financial year. When we say we are going to do away with VAT, mm-hmm. we are not irresponsible. Remember the anchor of our first agenda. We are saying, number one, we are not paying ODS debts, the legal debt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This financial year alone, we are paying 2.6 trillion on ODS debt. Mm-hmm. I saw an article the other day in The Nation. Some pundit had looked at the figures of debt held at the National Treasury mm-hmm. and at CBK, mm-hmm. and it's at variance of 6 trillion.
Yeah.
The variance of 6 trillion, not 6 billion, not 6 million.
6 trillion.
Six trillion.
What does that mean?
Your account holder and your banker
have different figures.
6 trillion. As Safina, we've done our forensic audit. Mm-hmm. As per our laws, mm-hmm. any debt that was taken without following the laws of Kenya illegally, because the laws say you only take with parliamentary approval mm-hmm. and for development. Yeah. Any that was not taken without following the laws of Kenya is odious, it's illegal, we'll not pay it. Mm-hmm. Our audit shows us we have a debt credit amount due to us. Mm-hmm. We've overpaid our debt mm-hmm. by 1.3 trillion. Trillion. Mm-hmm. So we can comfortably address Kenyans and tell them, mm-hmm. whatever you are being told is your debt stock of 13 trillion, we shall not pay it. Mm-hmm. So the 2.6 trillion that is due to be paid this year, we shall not pay it. Mm-hmm. Now, the appetite to collect the 325 billion VAT that goes to pay for that illegal debt is not there. Kenyans are deprived of money in their pockets. Mm-hmm. So give them a breather.
Yeah.
So do away with that ultimate consumer tax that you're calling the VAT. Right? Mm-hmm. Come up with a sales tax at 5%. Mm-hmm. And the cumulative effect of this 5% sales tax is this. With more disposable income in your pocket, yeah. you're able to spend more in the economy. Mm-hmm. If you spend more in the economy, the taxman even collects more. Mm-hmm. In fact, our actuarial estimates are showing us that with a reduction of VAT, and the interventions we are proposing under Safina, mm-hmm. you are going to see more consumption and more revenue collections in 3 years' time. Mm-hmm. Instead of 325 billion that VAT was bringing to you, mm-hmm. our sales tax contribution, you are going to hit almost 500 billion. Mm-hmm. Just because there'll be more consumption, a stimulated economy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Would it stay for any vatable good would now also be liable for sales tax? Essentially just...
We'll just take all the vatable items, we take them all to sales tax, as opposed to now maintain them as VAT.
This input-output claim mechanism, what was Julian's referring to?
The main issue at that time was the question of claims. Mm. Mm-hmm. Because sales tax is normally based on claims that you have to show how much you spend in terms of the production costs and how much you are getting. Mm-hmm. So the claims administration was very manual. Mm-hmm. But now with modern technology that has been integrated in tax administration, these are issues that will be very simple and easy to deal with. Already you see it even in the VAT claims that exporters, because you don't pay VAT on export, but they do VAT refunds. Those challenges are still there.
Okay.
Yeah. So with a more progressive system of administration, which have advanced, we'll be able to deal with it easily.
Okay. Speaking of odious debt, there is the matter that Okiya Omtatah presented to court. Where are we with that?
As at the last count, the IMF sought to be removed from that those proceedings.
Yes.
So I'm not sure the stage they've reached with that litigation, but there's another litigation also by Cyprian Nyamwamu, I think, and Helef on the same question. That one had been stuck at the point of they had included William Ruto as an interested party, and there was a PO which was raised that you cannot sue the president for breach of the constitution. I don't agree with it, but that took some time. So that one also has not made much progress. They are still dealing with the preliminaries of amending the petition to reflect parties who can be sued in it. So in the courts, the truth of the matter is that the odious debt petitions have not made significant progress. And they were filed, I think, in 2024, late 2024, early 2025.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let me just paint a picture. 2026-27, depending. Safina Party is in power. You are DP, Jimmy Wanjigi, P. Then we have this matter of ODS debt.
Yes.
Fantastic, like you said. Audit, what was taken that was not for development, that had no parliamentary approval, is ODS debt. That's fine. That's according to our laws. However, the international monetary system doesn't function according to our laws. Those are debts still taken. Debts still owed. Then comes in, whether it'll be economic sanctions or whatever measures they decide to take because we have refused to pay the debt. How do you deal with that? Laws are not in tandem with monetary.
Those are the scare tactics that legacy politicians sell, that you'll be sanctioned. The international financial system operates under the rule of law itself. It does not sanction criminality. That is why when you saw the Malaysian 1MDB scandal, even American banks had to pay Malaysia some money. If you saw the Mozambique tuna bond scandal, Credit Suisse from Switzerland collapsed and the executives are in jail. If there's a question of criminality, let no one sell you fear that you will be sanctioned. What will happen is this. You just need to prove, like in the instance of Kenya, the instances where you are seeing people took loans in the name of Kenya, the money didn't come into Kenya. It went to a private account in Qatar. Now, you are telling me that the international financial system will say that loan belongs to the people of Kenya, they should pay it. Eurobonds, some of those money didn't come into Kenya. They went to private accounts in Qatar. But the obligation to pay is lying at central bank. That is why you are seeing 6 trillion different. So we not pay. So me, all I'm seeing, the consequence that I'm aware of, when you don't pay odious debt, we are going to be 2.6 trillion shillings richer as a country. And at that point, when I say we don't even need to borrow, this is what it means to you. I have 2.6 trillion, which was going out, that is now retained in my budget. I've looked at my education sector. To take every kid to primary, secondary, TVET, I need 300 billion, maximum, tops, extra. From my 2.6 trillion, which was going to pay an illegal debt, I put it in education. School becomes free, primary, secondary, TVET. To run my public health care program, comprehensive health care, that you only need your ID to walk into a health facility.
Willis.
Is 200 billion.
Willis.
So you have 2.3 remaining.
I
take 200.
I lent Felaris money.
Yes.
She told me, oh, naitajithao, ninkasema sawa, shika, aina shida. Then I come back the next week asking for my 1,000 bob from Felaris. She's like, you know, actually my husband says I can't be taking money from you, Maria. I'm so sorry, I won't be able to pay. Am I supposed to be just like, now that your husband has said,
what's fine.
No. What happens
and,
in this?
And does the fact that she's not paying an installment mean that she has that money?
No,
she has wiped off the 2 trillion from her debt.
Yeah.
And I mean that you have it in cash.
What happens in this?
Yeah.
if you're using an example of you lend Felaris money, but the person who came to collect money was not Felaris. It is Eric who came and told you. Mm-hmm. Felaris told me mm-hmm. that she wants money, give me a tech toy. There was no approval from Felaris. Uh-huh. That is what happened.
So there's a middleman involved in this.
It is Felaris did ask for the money. So the Kenyan people did ask for this money.
Name.
You used your name.
Yeah.
So you used the Kenyan people's name to get that money. Felaris cannot pay for that money.
Okay.
When is Jimmy Wanjike going to be on the ground speaking? But before that, he's going to come here. We'll deal with him here.
Yeah.
I can answer that for him.
Yeah.
Jimmy Wanjike is on the ground. We had our Nakuru tunnel 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had our town hall in Mombasa last month. We were in Siaya, we were in Uoma Bay, we were in Kisumu.
So you're doing your political rallies as bougie town.
No. You see, Eric, one thing that we must accept. I've been here.
A billionaire can't go.
Let me explain to you. Even the town halls that we are meeting them in the people at their level.
Mm-hmm.
The first, if you remember, there was a time when Kenya people used to have large rallies, the Uhuru Park ones. Political campaigns will take place at specific public spaces.
Yeah.
Uhuru Park, Kamukunji grounds, specific. Then, that template changed. It went to rooftops of motor vehicles. That's where we are.
Yeah. Mm.
Where now most of them now go to the side of
they
a market,
block,
the back of
block
the blocker
roads.
Road, do it. Nobody does open rallies anymore. Safina Party, we've adopted our style, which is town hall. Because if you go on top of a motor vehicle by a roadside, number one, you block traffic, inconveniencing people who have nothing to do with your political engagement.
Yeah.
And so you must also talk quickly and leave.
Mm-hmm.
You start sloganeering to run to the next market center.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the substance? Where's the depth of the discussion?
Okay.
But as Safina, we are the party of ideas. We believe in, let's come to the go to the people in an organized setting where we tell you our first agenda. And you question us, you test our ideas. We develop this template together. Because it's about the people, not about us.
Mm.
We could have chosen the easy way out. Getting on top of a motor vehicle is the easiest campaign.
Yeah.
And sloganeering. That's the easiest. But it doesn't deal with the problem.
Mm.
We believe you can only deal with the problem when the people understand what the campaign is about.
And they engage.
And they take ownership. They engage with you.
Okay.
You get their feedback.
Okay. Final one, as you leave, huh? Feast ni chakula ama feast ngumi?
The feast agenda. Maybe I should explain it to you quickly. I said the feast agenda of Safina
feast,
number one.
Feast of ngumi.
The feast agenda, ngumi, okay. Feast.
Mm-hmm.
We are not paying odious debt. Illegal debts we are not paying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Number two, primary, secondary, TVET, we apply the money that was going to odious debt to education. It becomes free. Not a single contribution from a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, healthcare. To run healthcare country in this country costs around 180 billion. We'll allocate 200 billion from what was going to the illegal debts into healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
A Kenyan will access treatment in any facility without paying a single coin, only your ID. Number four, do away with VAT 16%. We only have 5% sales tax. The price of all goods and services that are available fall by 11%. These interventions we release to the pockets of Kenyans.
Mm-hmm.
860 billion more. The money you are spending in school fees, the money you are spending in healthcare services, the money you are spending in VAT is released back to you indirectly. You have more disposable income. You're able to consume more in the economy. Number five in the feast, we are not borrowing in the domestic market. Interest rates must fall. 3%, you go and borrow 1 million. If interest rates fall to 4%, you borrow 1 million, you're only paying 40,000 shillings as interest per year. With access to capital, with the great ideas our Kenyan people have, they'll be able to do business.
Asante.
Go to Lake Victoria today.
Asante.
You find Chinese are the ones putting up fish cages.
We
and they have access to cheap capital.
We ended
locals
there.
Cannot access capital to do business. Thank you.
The fifth year of the fifth finger in the feast agenda. Willis Otieno, the deputy party leader of Safina Party, has been our guest.